He's hearing of a cause. He will come straight. I'll tell him of you.
Pray you do.
I'll know his pleasure. Maybe he will relent. Alas, he hath but as offended in a dream. All sects, all ages smack of this vice, and he to die for it.
Now, what's the matter, Provost?
Is it your will Claudio shall die tomorrow?
Did not I tell thee yea? Hadst thou not order? Why dost thou ask again?
Oh, lest I might be too rash. Under your good correction, I have seen when, after execution, judgment hath repented o'er his doom.
Go to, let that be mine. Do you your office, or give up your place, and you shall well be spared.
I crave your honour's pardon. What shall be done, sir, with the groaning Juliet? She's very near her hour.
Dispose of her to some more fitter place, and that with speed.
Here is the sister of the man condemned, desires access to you with one Signor Lucio.
Hath he a sister?
Aye, my good lord, a very virtuous maid, and to be shortly of a sisterhood, if not already.
Well, let her be admitted. See you the fornicatress be removed. Let her have needful but not lavish means. There shall be order for it.
Save your honour.
Stay a little while. You are welcome. What's your will?
I am a woeful suitor to your honour. Please, but your honour, hear me.
Well, what's your suit?
There is a vice that most I do abhor, and most desire should meet the blow of justice, for which I would not plead, but that I must, for which I must not plead, but that I am at war twixt will and will not.
Well, the matter?
I have a brother is condemned to die. I do beseech you, let it be his fault and not my brother.
Heaven give thee moving graces.
Condemn the fault and not the actor of it. Why, every fault's condemned ere it be done. Mine were the very cipher of a function to find the faults whose fine stands in record and let go by the actor.
Oh, just but severe law. I had a brother then. Heaven keep your honour.
Give not o'er so. To him again entreat him. Kneel down before him, hang upon his gown. You are too cold. If you should need a pin, you could not with more tamer tongue desire it. To him, I say.
Must he needs die?
Maiden, no remedy.
Yes, I do think that you might pardon him, and neither heaven nor man grieve at the mercy.
I will not do it.
But can you, if you would?
Look, what I will not, that I cannot do.
But might you do it, and do the world no wrong? If so, your heart were touched with that remorse, as mine is to him.
He's sentenced. 'Tis too late.
You are too cold.
Too late? Why, no, I that do speak a word may call it back again. Well, believe this. No ceremony that to great ones longs. Not the king's crown, nor the deputed sword, the marshal's truncheon, nor the judge's robe, become them with one half so good a grace as mercy does. If he had been as you, and you as he, you would have slipped like him, but he, like you, would not have been so stern.
Pray you be gone.
I would to heaven I had your potency and you were Isabel. Should it then be thus? No. I would tell what 'twere to be a judge and what a prisoner.
I touch him, there's the vein.
Your brother is a forfeit of the law, and you but waste your words.
Alas, alas, why all the souls that were forfeit once? And he that might the vantage best have took found out the remedy. How would you be if he, which is the top of judgment, should but judge you as you are? Oh, think on that, and mercy then will breathe within your lips like man new made.
Be you content, fair maid, it is the law, not I, condemn your brother. Were he my kinsman, brother, or my son, it should be thus with him. He must die tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, that sudden, spare him, spare him. He's not prepared for death. Even for our kitchens we kill the fowl of season. Shall we serve heaven with less respect than we do minister to our gross selves? Good, good, my lord, bethink you. Who is it that hath died for this offence? There's many have committed it.
I well said.
The law hath not been dead, though it hath slept. Those many had not dared to do that evil if the first that did the edict infringe had answered for his deed. Now 'tis awake, takes note of what is done, and like a prophet looks in a glass that shows what future evils, either new or by remissness new conceived, and so in progress to be hatched and born, are now to have no successive degrees, but ere they live, to end.
Yet show some pity.
I show it most of all when I show justice, for then I pity those I do not know, which a dismissed offence would after gall, and do him right that answering one foul wrong lives not to act another. be satisfied. Your brother dies tomorrow. Be content.
So you must be the first that gives this sentence, and he that suffers? Oh, it is excellent to have a giant's strength, but it is tyrannous to use it like a giant.
That's well said.
Could great men thunder, as Jove himself does? Jove would ne'er be quiet, for every pelting petty officer would use his heaven for thunder, nothing but thunder. Merciful heaven! Thou rather with thy sharp and sulphurous bolt splits the unwedgeable and gnarled oak than the soft myrtle. But man, proud man, dressed in a little brief authority, most ignorant of what he's most assured, his glassy essence, like an angry ape, plays such fantastic tricks before high heaven as makes the angels weep, who with our spleens would all themselves laugh mortal.
Oh, to him, when she will relent. He's coming, I perceived.
Pray heaven she win him.
We cannot weigh our brother with ourself. Great men may jest with saints, 'tis wit in them, but in the less foul profanation.
Thou art the right girl, more of that.
That in the captain's but a choleric word, which in the soldier is flat blasphemy.
Art advised to that, moron.
Why do you put these sayings upon me?
Because authority, though it err like others, hath yet a kind of medicine in itself that skins the vice of the top. Go to your bosom, knock there, and ask your heart what it doth know that's like my brother's fault. If it confess a natural guiltiness such as is his, let it not sound a thought upon your tongue against my brother's life.
She speaks, and 'tis such sense that my sense breeds with it. Fare you well.
Gentle, my lord, turn back.
I will bethink me. Come again tomorrow.
Hark, how I'll bribe you. Good, my lord, turn back.
How bribe me?
Aye, with such gifts that Helen shall share with you.
You had marred all else.
Not with fond sickles of the tested gold, or stones whose rates are either rich or poor, as fancy values them, but with true prayers. That shall be up at heaven and enter there ere sunrise. Prayers from preserved souls, from fasting maids, whose minds are dedicated to nothing temporal.
Well, come to me tomorrow.
Go to, 'tis well, away.
Heaven keep your honour safe.
Amen, for I am that way going to temptation where prayers cross.
At what hour tomorrow shall I attend your lordship?
At any time, forenoon.
Save your honour.
From thee, even from thy virtue. What's this? What's this? Is this her fault or mine? The tempter or the tempted who sins most? Ah, not she, nor doth she tempt, but it is I, that lying by the violet in the sun do as the carrion does, not as the flower, corrupt with virtuous season. Can it be that modesty may more betray our sense than woman's lightness? Having waste ground enough, shall we desire to raise the sanctuary and pitch our evils there? Oh, fie, fie, fie. What dost thou? Or what art thou, Angelo? Dost thou desire her foully for those things that make her good? Oh, let her brother live. Thieves for their robbery have authority when judges steal themselves. What do I love her? That I desire to hear her speak again and feast upon her eyes? What is thy dream on? O cunning enemy, that to catch a saint with saints dost bait thy hook. Most dangerous is that temptation that doth goad us on to sin in loving virtue. Never could the strumpet with all her double vigour, art, and nature once stir my temper, but this virtuous maid subdues me quite. Ever till now, when men were fond,
I smiled and wondered how.